What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Michigan Golf Podcast. Garrett Smith here with you guys, and I did end up taking a look back, going through all the past episodes and previous recordings, and I have failed to bring you guys one of my favorite golf courses here on the west side of the state, kind of over on the lakeshore in Stonegate Golf Club. It is a really cool. I had to have dropped it or mentioned it or done something regarding Stonegate on the podcast at some point, but it is truly one of my favorites here in what I would kind of consider southwest Midwest Michigan. It's just north of Muskegon, but man, it is a, in my opinion, it's a hidden gem. And you get off the highway, you get off 31 heading north, just north of Muskegon, you kind of book it down some back roads to the east, and all of a sudden you stumble upon Stonegate, and it is the quickest way to get to a up north feeling golf course without going all the way up north. So, what I want to do today is, since I've gotten out there to play, I figured I'd give you guys the overview. Like I said, it's been a little bit since I've done the old course overview stuff, so I figure why not? This can kind of be one of the farewell course overview episodes of the 2020 season, and what better way to end it than with Stonegate? So, hang tight, stay tuned, quick ad per usual, but when we get back, I'm going to tell you guys about Stonegate Golf Club. Awesome, guys. Welcome back. Thanks for sticking it out. As always, I think I say that like every time after an ad, and it's the same ad. It always plays for the same duration of time, and if you listen through the intro and then listen through the ad, and obviously you make it through, I mean, you get to the rest of the episode, and you guys are tuning in, so that's cool, but need some new verbiage. I need to spice things up a bit. But let's talk Stonegate. So, I feel like I say this all the time too, but if you've played it, awesome. If you haven't, you are seriously missing out because this is a really, really cool golf course. And it's up in Twin Lake, Michigan. So, literally just north of Muskegon. You take the, after the, if you're heading north on 31, you've got the exit there to North Muskegon, just past Apple Avenue that heads left. Instead of taking that, obviously, you stay straight, you go down the little hill through the marsh, back up the hill, and then you take the first exit on your right. I forget what number it is, but you guys aren't asking me for directions on how to get there. We all have iPhones or Androids, just throw it in the maps, and you'll get there. But anyway, it's a beautiful, beautiful hidden gem, and it's a course that I've been playing for a long, long time. I can't remember when it was built. But, and I honestly can't remember the first experience I had out there, but I do know that that was our home course back in college. So back in 07, 08, when I was playing out at Muskegon Community, that's where we hosted our tournaments. Muskegon Community College has a little 9-hole course right there next to the campus called University Park, but again, little 9-hole course. So wasn't up to par for hosting a collegiate golf tournament. So we always played out at Stonegate, and Stonegate is, again, it's one of those courses that it gives you all the feels of northern Michigan golf without actually having to drive really all that far north, assuming you're here in the greater Grand Rapids area or somewhere nearby. Obviously, if you're coming from like South Bend, Indiana, you're going pretty far north to get to Stonegate. But for all of us here in the greater Grand Rapids area, it's nothing. I mean, shoot, probably if I were to guess, maybe an hour from the city. If that, I don't know, it depends on what way you go. But long story short, you get out there and you pull into this club, and it's, you can see the driving range right from the road. They've got a great practice area where they've got a couple of practice greens, one for pitching and chipping, and then they've got one for putting right on the left side of the entrance. And you pull in, small parking lot, really quaint little clubhouse and kind of restaurant type area. And then the course just expands from there. But it's a heavily wooded golf course. It's very, very tree lined. And again, it's one of my favorite things about it is just kind of the sense of seclusion you get when you're out there. For the most part, if you're on any given hole at Stonegate, you're not seeing a whole lot of other people. You're kind of out there, you're tucked in the trees. There's really very few holes out there that parallel each other. There are a couple instances where that does happen, but even still, there's so much undulation in the terrain, and it's just a beautifully architected golf course that gets you out there into nature, and you just kind of feel like you can disconnect. And I feel like I've talked about that for other courses and in other episodes of the podcast as well. But that's one of my favorite things about golf is getting out there and just kind of being a part of the environment and experiencing nature and spending time either by myself or with friends and just having that kind of space and clarity to enjoy the game and get out and play. And Stonegate starts you off In my opinion, I don't know. Part of me wants to say it's a very friendly start, and then part of me wants to say you better buckle up right from the first tee. But you go to the first hole, and it's not long. It's got to be in the 350-ish range, if I were to guess. I don't have the scorecard in front of me, so I can't give you guys all the details. But three sets of tees, back tees, middle tees, forward tees, and even from the back, the challenge of this first hole, super wide fairway, very friendly as far as right and left go, but you do run into a ravine. So the fairway does crest right, roughly right around the 150 stake, maybe a little past, so right around that 140-yard mark into the green, and then it does kind of start to go back downhill. The fairway stops, rough comes in, and then there's a huge ravine, just kind of this big trench that runs through. And I have seen the bombers of the bombers, the Bryson DeChambeau type bombers, take a cut at this green and at least try to carry the hazard. And I'm guilty of trying it when it's downwind. I've never once been successful, so I've tried it very, very minimal times, and most of the time it's with a crappy ball I found in the woods on another hole or something like that, or it's in a four-man scramble. So my play off the first hole, I always go with the mid to long iron. Sometimes it's a five, sometimes it's a four, sometimes it's a six. Never anything longer than a four iron for me, which is roughly my 210 to 220-ish club, depending on how hard I swing. But it's the first hole of the day, first swing of the day. I'm not looking to hit it hard. I always aim for the right half of the fairway. There's the 150 stake. There's plenty of room to the right of that. And if I hit this ball anywhere from 195 to 215, it's perfect. It's right at the top of the hill. It's in the fairway, in the flat, and you look down to the green, which has a small approach, right green side bunker, and it's a pretty long green front to back, so you kind of got to be mindful of that. You do have some undulation kind of coming off the left side, but moral of all the stories, when you're hitting approach shots, I mean, Stonegate's greens have, in my experience, they're notoriously firm, and they aren't super, super fast, but they're definitely not slow, so downhill putts will potentially get away from you. Again, it depends on the day, it depends on the weather, and kind of overall course conditions, but usually they're pretty sharp, and downhill putts are no bargain. So I always try to just shoot the front of the green there with my rangefinder. I'll kind of laser that front edge and know what I have to hit to cover that front, knowing if I fly it onto the front third of the green, if the pin is further back than that, I'm probably going to get a little bit of a bounce and a release, even though it's only 140 to 120 yard wedge shot. I just kind of play for that. And in this particular instance, I hit a 5-iron off the tee out there just right of the 150 stake, had roughly 140, I think 138 into the green maybe, and just hit a wedge in there. Nothing special, middle of the green, just kind of play it safe. It was a back right hole location. And from there, I mean, everything obviously, if you kind of pay attention to the landscape and the environment, some of the little tidbits and tricks you can kind of observe when reading greens is everything is going to break wherever the water is going to drain. And so obviously with the huge ditch in the front, which does, I think if I'm not mistaken, has a little bit of water that flows through it when the water's there and it's not dried up, but everything breaks kind of across the green that way, back to front. So I had to just come a little side hill, a little slider, but nothing crazy. Two putter for par and a great way to start around. And I'll take par on this hole any day. I don't birdie it very often just cause I don't have a very strong track record of making putts here on one. But a good par to start the day is fine with me, especially heading to hole two. Hole two from the back tees, where I traditionally play, is a par three. And again, you're going back over the same ravine. And it's a long par three. It can be a long par three. If I'm not mistaken, gosh, I think I've hit as much as 4-iron, 5-iron again into this hole. If it's into the wind, if it's not, it's still a 6 or a super, super jump down 7-iron. I want to say, gosh, I mean, normally it's a 6-iron, I got to think, to just comfortably get middle of the green. That's what I hit when I played, and it was just a nice, smooth 6-iron. I didn't quite get middle, I got front, but this is a severely sloping back-to-front green, so if you're above the hole, putting back down to it, good luck, because this green is no joke. If there's one green on this entire golf course where, nah, I'm going to bite my tongue there, because there's another one too that you don't want to be above the hole on. So this particular hole, though, you need to hit enough club to carry the ravine, And even then, there's not a lot of room there between the front edge of the green and that ravine. And then there's a front right greenside bunker that will catch anything that kind of peels to the right on you. And left is just woods. So it's pretty cleaned up in there. And if you do hit it to the left and kind of tug one in there, 80% of the time you're probably going to find it unless you just got a terrible kick. But if you cover everything you need to cover, if you catch a tree or whatever and you don't get a nasty bounce, you're going to be able to pitch it on. Long is dead. Don't go long. But not a lot of guys do. Cart path is right behind the green, and then over the cart path is just some native forest land, which doesn't really get maintained. It's super lot of underbrush and just debris and stuff like that. I have been back there once, and it's not fun. So not only do you not want to putt from above this hole, but you certainly don't want to chip from above this hole. So my advice, again, shoot the front of the green and cover the ditch, cover the ravine, and give yourself an uphill putt or an uphill chip, because that's how you'll make par. Thankfully, I did exactly that. Kind of got just to the front of the green, middle pin location. I two putted for par, and I will take that every stinking time on this hole, because this hole, I bogey this hole more often than not. And so I'm very, very accustomed to being one over through two here at Stonegate, but not this particular time. And heading to the third hole. The third hole has always been one that kind of challenges me personally a little bit, because it is a little bit of a dogleg right, but it's predominantly straight, if that makes sense. So I guess if I were to kind of describe it, it favors a fade off the tee at the very least. If you're a bomber and you hit driver, there's some really good kind of targets out there straight down the middle of the fairway you can kind of aim at and then let it bleed to the right. And when I say bleed, I'm talking like 5 to 10 yard fade, nothing crazy, because there is woods and it's all junk, and it goes right back down into the cavernous pit to the right in the woods that you don't want to go down. Left is long grass, and there's a couple of houses over there, so you don't want to go left either. But this is a hole where I don't normally hit driver. I have had success. If I do bomb one and it's firm, I've gotten up there to about 30 yards or so short of the green, 40 yards maybe. And you've got a pitch shot into a par four, so it's not terribly long. But 9 times out of 10, I'll pull a long iron or a fairway wood off this tee. I'll hit, well, back in the day, dialing it back a couple episodes, I might hit a hybrid if that was in my bag. Now I would probably hit 5 wood, but I hit 4 iron just because that's kind of my comfort. And it leaves you kind of a longer shot. You are going to have, depending on the wind and how firm the ground is, of course, it's going to vary, but you're probably going to be anywhere from 150, 160-ish, maybe 140. Again, just kind of in that range. I happen to have 155 and hit a 9-iron in there, front pin location. So I ended up past the hole, which is fine, because this is one of the few greens where if you're past the flag, you're actually going to be putting back uphill slightly, which is nice. The front edge is kind of raised up. And I think that's probably why I don't like hitting driver too, because when I leave myself that 40, 50-yard pitch shot, you can't get enough spin on those, and if you fly it onto the front, it almost inevitably kicks and then shoots to the middle of the green, if not further, because it will release. So that's kind of my fail-safe. I like to just kind of lay back and give myself a full shot in. Easier for me to control the distance. It's a very narrow green, very long front to back, very narrow left to right, so just something to be mindful of. Bunkers left, so stay out of those, because those are no fun, but just rough to the right, so nothing too hazardous there. I two putted for par again, so a smooth start for me. And then you kind of, in my opinion, after I kind of buckle up for the first three holes, then I can kind of put the pedal down a little bit, at least on this next hole. The next hole, the fourth hole, is a par five, and it's a short par five, one that I hit driver on all the time. It's a very wide fairway, which actually kind of doglegs a little to the right. There's a couple of big trees out there that kind of prevent you from trying to bite off too much more than you probably should. But for me, I'm a high ball hitter, so I've always aimed at those trees and just hit high. And if it draws, it's fine. If it stays straight, it's generally fine. If it fades, it's probably okay-ish, but not position A by any means. There's a pond that kind of leads up to the fairway on the right, but if you can, obviously you want to be aware that it's there. It's nobody's target. Nobody's aiming up the right side of this fairway because there's so much room to the left. But just know the distance, so that way at least you know what it takes to cover the water, just in case that you do leak it to the right. But again, for me, short par five. I've I've hit as little as driver 9 iron into this hole. Sometimes it's as much as driver 5 iron or driver 4 iron. Again, depends on the turf conditions and how windy it is. So this particular day, I hit driver 5 iron, just because it's kind of cold out. It's fall golf. Ball doesn't carry quite as far as it normally does, but I cup it in the middle right side of this fairway, which is fine. The green, you can't actually see the putting surface. It just kind of hoists it up a little bit, and the front edge is pitched above, so you can't actually see the putting surface, which makes it kind of hard to gauge depth. And again, this is another hole where you kind of have a more narrow green right to left, longer front to back. So just be mindful of that. I always will laser the front edge of this green, at least to know what it takes to kind of get to that. Because if I can get to that, I know that I can at least land there and kind of bounce into the green a little bit. There is, I mean, a little bit of kind of runoff on either side, short. I mean, so if you miss right or left, you just kind of have a little pitch shot off a hill. Nothing too crazy, but again, Stonegate has been notorious in my experience for having firmer greens, and that's just kind of something you got to be attentive to. Chips don't maybe bite and check the way that they do on other golf courses. You kind of got to play for that initial bounce and then release. But for some guys too, if you're not going for this green in two, I've got to imagine it's kind of a tough layup. There is a pretty wide area of hazard that you have to either lay up short of and leave yourself, oh, if I were to guess, maybe a buck 20. I don't know. I've never hit from just short of the hazard, so I'm not entirely sure what the yardage would be there. Or you have to cover the hazard, which is probably, if I were to guess, 60-ish yards wide, and then you can get across, and you're probably leaving yourself that 70, 60, 80 yard range. So I would guess that. Don't hold me to it because I've never done it. I can't speak from experience. But this is a hole where, again, I hit driver 5 iron, ended up just short right of the green, pitched on, and did make about a 4 footer for birdie. So that was a cool hole for me. I do birdie this one quite frequently. It's one of my favorite holes on the course. Obviously, it's a short and pretty easy par 5 for me. So I love that start. And then going to the next hole, 5. Again, this one's kind of, for me, it's not a, I mean, if you were to play this or if you know Stonegate, it's not a hard hole. But for me, it's just never been my favorite hole, in any capacity. It's dead straight. There's trees left, there's trees right. It's a huge fairway. Again, I don't hit anything more than a fairway wood. I have hit 3 wood. I've never hit driver on this hole. I hit 3 wood, I'll hit 5 wood, I'll hit hybrid. I hit 4 iron today. Just kind of a high draw off the right side. And left myself a, gosh, what did I hit into that green? Pitching wedge? Yeah, pitching wedge. So 4 iron pitching wedge, but there is a pond that covers that front right side, which does kind of lead to a little bit of kind of tentativeness for me. Just especially if the pin, this is a huge green, but if the pin is over on the middle right side, you do have to be conscious of that water, because if you don't cover it, you're obviously going to be wet. And that's not a good situation. So this is one where if I can go and just hit it and play off the tee, hit it in the fairway, and then knock it on the green and two putt. This green is, I've never read this green very well. Again, I try and make everything break to the water, and I feel like there's kind of some opposing forces here because the reads that I tend to see aren't necessarily the reads that are there. So it's a tough hole for me. That back left side of the green is kind of pitched up. The back right side is pitched up. Everything kind of funnels to the middle, and there's just some really unique design elements that make this a tough green for me to make putts on. But that's besides the point. I did knock it into the middle of the green and two putter for par here, so staying 1 under through 5, which for me is a strong start at Stonegate. And heading to the next hole, the sixth hole is a beast. It is a monster of a par 5. And it's, gosh, what is it from the tips? It's 600 at least. It's the first digit's definitely 6. I wish I had the scorecard in front of me so I could kind of give you guys some more specifics. But 600 yarder straight away. And this is one where trees up the right, trees up the left. For me, for a long time, and even still to this day, I have a hard time picking what shot shape to hit off this tee because sometimes I get up there. A lot of it depends on which way the wind's blowing, and I'll kind of play with that or just kind of how I'm swinging it that day. But I always try and bomb a driver, and it just kind of depends on what I pick for a shot shape to kind of dictate where I'm going to end up because I don't hit this fairway very often. A lot of times I'll aim up the right and try and play a draw, and I am notorious for just kind of leaving it off the right side, which is just in the rough, or I have been known to overhook it too much and I'll end up in the left rough, which is fine. It's just over by the cart path, and then it sets me up to hit another potentially big hook for a second shot to lay up, because I've gone for this green in two, obviously knowing that I'm never gonna hit it, but there's a chance I can get close. Because the second shot, you can't see the green, you can't see the approach, it's all super downhill. So it's a really pretty hole. I mean, you kind of, the green is surrounded by this amphitheater of trees, and this time of year it's beautiful in color, but again, you can't see the putting surface. So sometimes I hit driver three wood, sometimes I hit driver long iron. Again, it just depends on how strategic you want to be. My advice is honestly just probably for a second shot, hit it as close to the green as you can. I mean, that means different things to everybody, but there's really no benefit to laying back because it's all downhill. You're in pretty much inevitably going to have a downhill lie with the ball, probably, if you're right-handed, going to be slightly above your feet. And so it doesn't matter if you're 60 yards out, 80 yards out, 100 yards out, or 150 yards out. You're going to have to contend with just the lay of the land on this particular shot. And it's not an easy third shot, too, in my opinion, no matter how close you get. It's tough to gut Jade. I'm blending the words judge and gauge here. It's tough to gauge or judge the distance. This green is decent size. I mean, it's front to back. I mean, I wouldn't be able to guess, but it's huge. Again, this takes me back to hole two, and this is why I bit my tongue back on two, because this green has got huge undulation, huge slope from back to front. So the ball, it's obnoxious because it looks like it's one of those hills where the ball should not stop above this on the back of this green. It should hit the back of the green and roll back down, but it never does. And so if you leave yourself putting from above this hole, again, good luck. Just get it started, because it's going to be fast unless it's off season, greens are aerated or sandy, or there's other elements in play. But it's a pain in the butt putting from above this hole. It's a pain in the butt putting across this green. And so, I mean, huge breaks either right or left, depending on which side you're on. My advice is just play for the front of this green, which, take that with a grain of salt, because there is a front bunker that is a pain in the butt. It will catch most every ball that heads in its direction. My play, which for whatever reason, I don't know if it's just luck of the draw or if it's just kind of the way this green plays and the way the superintendent and the grounds crew cut cups, but 9 times out of 10, this pin is either middle, or it's on the right side of the green. And for me, being a drawer of the golf ball, and especially when you're coming in with that third shot ball above your feet on a slight downhill lie, it's very, very easy, and in my opinion, very, very smart to aim at that right side of the green and just let whatever happens, happens, because it's far, far easier to get up and down from short right than it is from anywhere else around this putting surface. For me, I hit a driver, hung it up the right side. I ended up taking a 4-iron and just kind of squeezing one up there to lay up, and then flipped a wedge in there. Nothing close. It wasn't that great of a wedge shot. Kind of left the face open. Had about 20 feet, 25 feet maybe. I did 2-putt for par, so I did keep the bogey-free streak alive through 6. And that's good for me heading to 7, because this next stretch of 7 and 8, they're tough holes for me. These holes, so 7, it used to be back in the day, back in my college days, this was a super cool hole because it was a drivable par 4. They had a tee box back there. I want to say from back there it measured like 305 or something like that from the tips, so nothing unrealistic, nothing crazy. The green does sit up on a hill, which made it very difficult. But I loved it because there's the hill that it sits on is higher on the right. So me being a drawer of the golf ball, I would always aim at the trees up to the right of the green and just rip it. And if it landed anywhere amongst those trees, barring a horrendous bounce, I would kick left and either run down close to the green, just short of the green, whatever it might be. But now they kind of redesigned this, and now it's a long par 3. And it is a meaty par 3, because now the tee box, instead of sitting up on a hill, sits down below. It's 200 yards. I mean, and this time of year, the wind's out of the north, so you're going back into whatever breeze is blowing, and it's a hard hole. I mean, on a good day, it's a smoked 6-iron, and on a not so good day, it's a 4-iron, and That's what I ended up hitting, and I did not hit it well. Caught it high off the toe and just kind of dead draw out there. There's a, again, this green is perched up on the hill. There's a bunker short left. I ended up down in that bunker. Unfortunately, did not get up and down because this is another nasty green. This green, if you're playing Stonegate for the first time, just be gentle on yourself because there's a lot to this golf course, a lot to these greens and these green complexes in particular that as a first timer, you're going to fall victim to. It's inevitable. Whether you're listening to this podcast or using the other resources to kind of give you insight on courses before you play, but it just takes a little bit of local knowledge and a little bit of comfort to kind of establish kind of how you want to play in and around these putting surfaces. So like I said, I ended up down in the left greenside bunker. Didn't hit a very good bunker shot, but did knock it on. Ended up two putting for bogey, so back to even par through seven, which is still a fine start for me. But heading to eight, eight is another tough hole for me because it favors a fade. In my eyes, just I'm trying to start visualizing fades and kind of more kind of squeeze cuts, but my eyes always see draws. It's just kind of how it works. And so this is a hole where you can't see the landing area from the back tees. You're perched up on a hill. You're going right back down. It's a straight shot, and then it kind of cuts over to the right, and then the green is sitting down below where you can't see the putting surface because it's over another ravine, and just it's a tough hole. I hit on this hole, I usually hit a fairway wood again because driver just doesn't seem worth it because if I do miss it left, it's going to be in big, big trouble. If you miss it right, it's manageable. You are going to have to punch out, but left is, I mean, I don't know. I just don't like missing left and long on this hole off the tee. So, but you also don't want to be too short because if you kind of lay back too conservatively, you're going to leave yourself with just an uncomfortably long second shot into a putting surface that you can't see. And it's hard to obviously laser what you can't see and get a yardage for something. And you got to cover the ravine. The ravine is back. It's in play again, and it will gobble up golf balls that come up at all short of this putting surface. So I hit a three wood here, pulled it up the left side, which I normally do. Sometimes I like to try and squeeze a fade, but it's a better angle into the green from the left. So I think my subconscious knows that and kind of takes over. So I end up in the left rough. What I have, 9-iron into the green? I think I hit a, yeah, I did. I was between pitching wedge and 9. I did go with the easy 9 because I didn't have that great of a lie. But again, like I said, I mean, this is one where you can get a rangefinder if you've got one and you can laser that flagstick. And I strongly encourage you to just take your medicine and take that yardage for exactly what it is and play it. Because again, there's not a lot of room short of this green without going into the hazard. And so if that pin is front, just play the yardage. If the pin's middle, play the yardage. If the pin's back, play the yardage. It's not an easy shot. If you miss long, it's not easy to get up and down because, again, this is another green that slopes severely back to front towards the ravine, towards the hazard. I bogey this hole a ton. It's just one of those ones where I'm just like, you know what? That's golf, and that's kind of the way this hole is designed, and it's not my cup of tea. So on this particular day, I did end up missing long. Greens are not super-duper fast, so I did very delicately lag a putt down there, but it still did run past the hole about 2 feet, but I did tap in for par to remain even. But this is a hole where you just want to, again, there's no trouble right, no trouble left, no trouble long, but the trouble is the green complex as a whole. If you miss short, again, penalty strokes, hazard, no fun. If you miss anywhere else, you've got your work cut out for you in the short game. So if you can hit the middle of this green and give yourself at least the best possible opportunity to putt, you're winning on this hole. So keep that in mind. But heading to nine is kind of where I feel like the golf course opens up for me. I love this stretch of holes. Nine is a dog leg left back towards the clubhouse. This is one instance where it does parallel hole one, but you're hitting in opposite directions. So nine goes out to the left. One is kind of running, I guess, kitty corner to you, back towards the, but it doesn't come into play. The trees are huge and they're tall and there's a lot of them, and you're going a different direction. So this particular hole, I love hitting driver on, being a drawer of the golf ball. There's a set of fairway bunkers up the right that I always aim at and just try and draw it off of them. You can overdo it if you try and get too aggressive and hug the left side. It's a very, very short hole, so I hit driver on this hole a lot of times, meant anywhere from 60 to maybe 80 yards out. So, I mean, is it worth it? I don't know. I mean, sometimes I feel like it because it's just such a wide landing area and those bunkers make such great visual targets. I have missed it to the right of the bunkers or past the bunkers on too straight of a line. I have hit the cart path and ended up in the yard off the back of the clubhouse because I'll just get a huge bounce off the cart path. It'll bounce over. There's just kind of a little wooden fence and I'll end up in the grass, the nicely manicured grass that is around the clubhouse. There's a patio up there. So for all the people that are during the summertime out having drinks or eating hot dogs or whatever else, they're going to be watching you. So just don't go up there. That's a lot of pressure. So just avoid it. So you can lay back again, in my opinion, for the average recreational golfer going out there, if you aim at that 150 stake, it's again a fat part of the fairway. You get it out there, give yourself 150. This is another hole where the green complex is just it bites it, and not in a good way. It for me, 60 to 80 yard wedge shots are no gimme because this green, it's kind of weird. It's got like the front right side is kind of high, the back is kind of high, everything pitches towards the middle left. A lot of times I find the pin to be on the right side of this green, which makes it super difficult. So again, you just kind of take your medicine and it just takes a couple of times of playing it to know these things. But that front right side of the green, that front right quadrant is your friend. If you aim at that and hit it, your ball is going to inevitably bounce down to the left, roll to the middle of the green, and you're going to leave yourself with a good two putt. If the pin is back, it can be a little long. It's another green that's pretty long front to back. I had about 70 yards in this particular time and had a lob wedge into a middle left hole location, which that is the primo scoring pin. I did hit a pretty good wedge shot into about 10 feet. I did not make the putt, so I did make the turn at even par. And I'm very happy about that. Stonegate, again, it's a golf course that I love because it requires character, it requires shot making, it requires short game, it requires just there's all the elements of golf are brought into play on this golf course. And it's a fun test. So for me to get around an even par is a blast. I love that. And then heading to 10. Oh shoot, what's 10 is another, gosh, sometimes I feel like when I talk about these courses and stuff like that, I paint the picture in my mind a little different than I do when I'm playing, and it's an interesting perspective. But 10 is a goofy hole in my opinion. It's a fun hole, but it's a goofy hole because it's again it's kind of like one where it's not long. It's got to only be like 330 from the tips, 340 maybe. But so the tee box is down, and you're hitting up this hill, and the fairway slopes significantly right to left. There's a huge hill of rough, and in the summer it gets long, wispy grass on it. Everything runs down to the left, and then there's rough, and then the cart path runs down there too. But for me, I never hit driver because the entire hole is uphill, and this green is perched. Gosh, if I were to guess, I'm really bad at guessing this sort of thing, but I think from the base of the green complex area, there's bunkers down there short, and then there's where the fairway stops, and then the rough comes in. I bet it's 30 feet up to the green. I could be totally wrong, but like I said, I'm super bad at guessing this kind of stuff. But it's such a significant uphill approach shot that I always lay back off this tee, and I know that I can hit a 5 iron off this tee every single time, and I can be anywhere from 90 yards out to, depending on how soft of a landing I get, probably eight, I'd say 80 yards to roughly 110 in that window, and it's a 5 iron. So, Lord willing, I hit the fairway every time. But that obviously isn't always the case. I have been known to miss right, and it doesn't always bounce down. And I've got a severe side hill lie, and it's not fun. So don't do that. Definitely err on the left side. You're gonna get somewhat of a flatter lie, but no matter what, if you're in this fairway, that ball is probably above your feet, and more often than not, probably a slightly uphill lie, unless you kind of get over the hump and you're kind of going down the other side, which then you've got kind of an awkward length wedge shot in, going uphill significantly to this green, which is very narrow front to back, and hey, guess what? It slopes pretty severely from back to front. So this is a hole where again I have a very difficult time gauge judging, however you want to call it, the distance. So I gosh, this hole is a it's a stinker because You never want to miss short. I always, 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 for whatever reason, get deceived. I don't know if it's just that the elevation change or what, but I always, the 9 times out of 10, I'll hit a wedge shot, and as soon as it leaves the face, I think it's going to be good, and it barely covers the front edge of this green. I don't know what it is, but that's my issue. Which is fine because, again, 9 times out of 10, you're left with an uphill putt, which is obviously better than the alternative. In this particular instance, it was not that good because I, again, kind of pulled it off that ball above my feet lie, left it on the front left side. That pin was more back right, back middle, and I did not two putt. I ended up three putting, so over par now, one over par for the day. But again, through 10 holes, not the worst. And 10 is another one where I've just kind of learned to take my medicine. If bogey is the worst that you make, that's fine. Take that bogey and run. And run really fast to the 11th hole because the 11th is a gettable par 5, in my opinion. I love 11. And 11, you tee off up on the hill, and it's just a beautiful vista, beautiful vantage point. I should post a picture on Instagram for you guys. Again, at G Smith Golf, if you happen to follow. If you don't, check it out. I'll throw a picture on there. But 11 is beautiful because you're going back downhill, huge, just vast landing area. You feel like you can aim anywhere and hit the ball anywhere, and you're hopefully going to find the fairway. There's some fairway bunkers up the right that make a great target for me personally, being a drawer of the golf ball. If you miss it to the right, there's just a huge hillside where the cart path runs that you're probably going to get at least somewhat of a kick down to the left. And this hole is one of those where if you mash a drive, and for me, I mean, I've got to hit one pretty good. So I've got to cover anywhere from about 285, 290 to maybe 300. And then you can go for the green in two. And even then, it's still, I don't hit this green in two very often, but this is one of the friendlier greens for me personally to get up and down around. And so I love it. I just bomb a driver and then I'll rip whatever it takes to get up near the green and then I'll try to get up and down. There are bunkers that are up there probably. Shoot, they're right of the green, and they probably run anywhere all the way from 60 yards out up to greenside. So those will catch you, and they will leave you with that awkward length bunker shot that nobody likes to hit. So my words of advice is just err on the left side of this hole, because if you kind of play that left side, you're just gonna end up in the rough, and it's kind of whatever. And it's not overly penalizing rough by any means, unless you draw a really, really bum lie. But it's better than a long bunker shot. So that's my tip of the day for hole 11. This particular day, I hit driver, and then I got to hit my new 5-wood, which was super fun. I have hit that a few times, and I do enjoy it. It's a cool club. The shaft is significantly heavier than I'm used to at 95 grams. It does feel like a sledgehammer, so I'm really getting used to that. And the M4 Tour head is tiny, but I like it. I like it because it gives me a lot of confidence to get the ball airborne and flying and kind of control my shots. So it's a cool club for me, and I like to aim this one. This particular time, I aimed up the right. It did not draw back like I hoped, so I did end up in the greenside bunker. Again, 0 for 2 on sand saves. Well, I guess if you call it a sand save, I did save par. I did not make birdie, but I was in the greenside bunker. I did not get up and down for birdie. So unfortunately, I did not get my bogey back from 10 yet. But, I mean, 11's a cool hole. It's one of those where you walk away with par, you walk away with birdie. Either way, I always enjoy playing that hole. It's one of my favorites. Probably, I mean, one of my favorites, if not my absolute favorite on Stonegate. So look forward to that one if you get out there and check it out. But going to 12, the next stretch of holes, 12, 13, let me think, 14, 15, shoot, yeah, this, I mean, Stonegate's tough. It's a tough golf course. And for me, I mean, but again, I think that's why I love it so much. You get the up north feel. Like I said, you've got all the character. You've got all the strategic elements. You've got shot making. But hole 12 from the back tees, when they're down there, and I mean down there, there's another tee box that sets way down at the base of the hill that goes back up and makes this hole a dogleg right. And it's a long hole. And you can't see the landing area. You just kind of aim out there. There's a tree on the right side. You know that if you stay left of that, you're in the fairway. If you stay right of the trees that are left of the fairway, you're in the fairway or the rough. I mean, that's a lot to digest. And I said it kind of fast, but it's a fade hole. It's a fader's hole all day. So for me, it's always kind of been a tough one. But I do kind of, every once in a while, I just, for whatever reason, kind of feel comfortable hitting the intentional swing from the inside, holder open, and just kind of push it type shot. So I'll aim to, at least in what my mind says, is far, far left. And then I'll just kind of get intentionally jammed up and kind of leave that right arm behind me a little bit. And that club face is open. And I'll just kind of hit this pop fly fade. It's kind of one shot that I used to get really good at a hole 18 at Old Grand Haven Golf Club, but that's a story for another podcast. But it works on this hole too, so it's always a kind of nice visual that I've had. And if the tees are up, it's a straighter hole, shorter hole, but again, from the back tees down at the bottom of the pit, it's tough. So I hit one up there. I ended up pushing it too far right into the right rough, and guess what? It's another tough approach shot, because if you don't hit it far enough, you're on a downhill lie. If you do hit it far enough, you're hitting uphill. But again, it's severely uphill. If I were to guess, shoot, I'm sitting in a 20-foot long space right now. I'd say every bit of 20 feet, maybe a little bit more. It doesn't feel as significant or substantial as 10, but it is an uphill approach. There's a bunker that guards the front middle of the green. This is one where all the time I just shoot the flag, get my yardage, and I just try and put this in the middle of the green, because if you can knock it on there and give yourself a two putt, that's always been good for me. I'll take that every time on 12. So that's exactly what I did. I did end up, like I said, missed right off the tee, had the ball kind of slightly above my feet, which didn't bother me too much, because I just aim at that front right side and just hit a second shot in there that catches right middle, and I did end up two putting, because I was probably 25 feet maybe, so nothing crazy. But on to the next. It's a pretty friendly, not friendly putting surface, but it's good size and it'll catch a lot of golf balls as long as you get up to it. So just kind of keep that in mind. Let yourself hit, make sure you hit the distance. Don't come up short in that greenside bunker, because that's, I've seen a lot of guys have a lot of trouble out of that spot. Heading to 13. 13 is another kind of squirrely hole for me, because it's one of those, again, it kind of takes me back to six, where I just don't know what to hit off this tee as far as kind of target and distance go, because I hit driver a lot, because the further you go, the fairway kind of goes down the little valley and then it comes back up to the right, and then the green is perched up and to the right. But there's houses not out of bounds to the right, there's woods to the left, and I always want to hit a draw off that right side, but there have been more occasions than not where I'll leave it out to the right, and if I don't get a friendly kick off the trees, I'm out of bounds in somebody's backyard, and that's never fun. So this particular round, I ended up hitting three wood and hit that kind of old squeezy trap fade that I talk about. And I aim at the cart path up the left side and just know that I'm going to squeeze it, which is going to kind of pinch that ball in between the club face and the turf, put that cut spin on it, put a lot of backspin on it. And I, being a drawer of the golf ball, I inevitably come from the inside, so it's always a little bit of a push and then a squeeze. So anyway, found the fairway, which is fine. Happy about that as always. 'Cause like I said, I mean, you guys know I don't always hit the fairway, so it's fun when I do. And I think it's important on this hole, because this hole has a big green, one of the biggest ones on the golf course, I would have to guess. At least it feels that way to me. And the green slopes severely right to left from pretty much anywhere. Front right, middle right, back right, all comes back down to the middle. A lot of times, I feel like the pin is in the middle. I don't feel like I've luck of the draw. I mean, again, I don't feel like I play this hole with a lot of pin locations other than middle. Obviously, it varies front, middle, middle, or back, but it's pretty much always in the middle of the green. And so I hit a pitching wedge into this one. Again, just kind of aim at the right side and let it draw back in, and did not hit the yardage that I was intending to. So I came up about 25, 30 feet short and did two putt for par. So remain one over, but kind of a, oh, I don't know. It's not a terribly difficult hole, and it's just one that's, for the most part, other than you can't see the putting surface, it's right there in front of you. And I feel like most of you guys, most of the listeners here, I mean, aren't gonna have as much of a problem with this hole as I do. Again, I think it's, I've played it so many times and I've had so many adverse things happen that I just got some inner demons, and so hopefully that's not the case for you guys. You guys can just hit your shots out there, whether it's a fade, whether it's a draw, hit it in the fairway, hit it on the green, and you'll be like, hey, what's that Garrett guy talking about? This hole's not that hard. It's straightforward. It's easy. Just do this, and so I'll get there. Don't worry. I know everybody's got those holes. Some holes are easy, some holes are hard. But heading to the next hole is fun. I like this next hole, and I don't really know why, because it's just a par three, and it's not even a long one. It's a short iron, a wedge, depending on where the pin is at or the wind direction. But I've hit, gosh, it's right in the neighborhood. I think it was 148 is where I played it from, if I remember right, just inside 150. So I'm kind of right there between a pitching wedge and a nine iron. But being fall and cold, I did go with the nine iron and just kind of hit down on it and kind of hit that same squeeze type shot that I hit on the last hole off a tee. But this one is fun. I mean, there's some greenside bunkers, but I just feel like this is a really approachable green. I think it's because it slopes from back right to front left. And so you do kind of have that to consider and to think about. But I just feel like it catches a lot of golf balls. So whether you hit a draw, that slope is going to catch that ball and it's going to funnel it down to the left. If you hit a fade, you can kind of squeeze one in there and catch that slope, and it's going to hit the brakes and maybe spin back. And so it's just kind of a cool. I always thought that if I ever have a hole in one at Stonegate, this is the hole that I'm going to have it on. Just kind of one of those that gives me that visual. I don't birdie it all that often because I'm not very good at reading this green, but I don't know. Just one of those that's got a special place in my heart. So I like it. I hit a nine iron, like I said. I did not get the yardage right. And for whatever reason, I don't think I've ever missed left of this green. I always, always, always end up missing right, which is where this ball ended up, just off the fringe. Just kind of faded a little bit too much and came up just a little bit short of pin high. Chip and putt, and we're away with par, so still one over for the day. But again, I always feel like I left a little something out there when I don't at least give myself a chance to birdie this hole, because I do like it. And I haven't played Stonegate. Shoot, I haven't played it at all this year except for this one round. And so that was my bad. That was my mistake. Usually I get out there quite a bit, at least a handful of times, but this was not the year for it. But anyway, going on to the next hole. This is another par four, and it's 15 is just I don't know. The tee shot's The second shot's cool. The tee shot's So it's straight away. What you see is what you get. There's a fairway bunker on the left. There's kind of like a fairway waste area on the right. I can hit the ball far enough where I can cover that waist area. A lot of guys are probably not going to be able to do that. So I strongly encourage you to aim at the 150 stake or the left fairway bunker. That bunker on the left is not reachable for the majority. So if you aim at that and use it as a target, between that and the 150 stake, you're golden. And stay out of the long fairway native bunker waist area thing, because that's just going to leave you an uncomfortable second shot with probably a longer club than you want to hit into this par four green. And for me, it's a driver wedge. I did leave it out to the right, but again, it covers that fairway bunker wasteland area. So I end up in the rough. Maybe there's some long grass that grows during the summer, but it's not particularly troublesome this time of year. So I hit a gap wedge into this green. Nothing crazy. I love approaching this green from the right because, again, the green is kind of perched on a little bit of a hill and there's slope to the left. And if you kind of play it off the left side of the green, you're going to give yourself a good chance of being on a good spot on the putting surface. If you miss right, then you're going to have one of those kind of not uncomfortable pitch shots or chip shots, but you do have to go back up the hill onto the green, which is a good couple foot rise. And then going back into the hill, the ball never really releases like you expect it to. So a lot of the holes and a lot of the pitch shots, I feel like at Stonegate, you're kind of guarding against hitting your chips and pitches too firm. Here, you just got to give it the mustard and get it there because it's not going to release. I've hit far too many pitch shots from right of this green that just kind of bop up onto the green and they sit there. And you're like, cool, I was planning for that to release 6, 8 feet, and it just didn't. So I tend to aim at the left side of this green. Pin was front middle. I kind of pulled it a little bit, so I did miss just in the left fringe. Ended up two putting for par. So again, just kind of sitting at that one over number. But it's a good hole. 15 is fine. But 16 is, again, 16 is another hole where you kind of got to buckle up. I mean, tighten your bootstraps because 16 is tough. It's a long par four. This is another one where I wish I had the scorecard in front of me to tell you guys how far it is, because it's a slight dogleg left, but it's a bomber's paradise off the tee. I mean, it's a huge landing area. It's super wide, and what kind of dictates how you play 16 is how much do you want to try and bite off the corner because the fairway goes out pretty level with the tee box, and then as it doglegs to the left, it runs downhill. If you hug the left side, which is close to the trees, close to the cart path, close to a lot of trouble, you can catch this hill if you absolutely like smoke one, like Phil Mickelson, high nasty bomb smoke one. You can catch the downslope and roll down the hill. There's a fairway bunker on the left, but you're not going to catch it because the rough is going to catch your ball before the bunker does, which is always fine. But then you can have a wedge into this green. However, I tend to aim further right in the fairway just out of caution and being a drawer of the golf ball. And if I miss to the right, you're up, you're in the flat, but you're just going to have a longer shot. So for me, that's 160 yards, 170 yards, somewhere in that neighborhood, depending on how well I hit it. But it still leaves you an 8-iron or a 7-iron in instead of a wedge. So, I mean, there's give and take there, just depending on what angle you try to attack this hole from. And this is another green that's pretty narrow front to back. And if you come up short, you, again, very similar to 15, you've got a pitch shot that's going to go up a few feet, and you got to be conscious of that. You're hitting back up and into the hills, so you got to make sure to get your pitch shots there. I did leave this out to the right. I had 165, 166 yards in, so I hit a 7-iron, kind of that same shot I hit a couple holes ago. Back in the stance, kind of squeeze it out there with a little fade spin. It was a front right hole location, so I went for that, ended up catching the middle of the green. And anytime I hit this green in regulation is a good day because, I don't know, it's just another one of those where it's a tough green to hit because whether it's distance, whether it's direction, whether it's, I mean, there's a lot of elements to the second shot that always seem to bite me in one way, shape, or form. So it's a tough one. But anytime I can hit middle of the green, so driver 7-iron, that's a good healthy par 4 for me. And 2-putt for par is good on me. Outside of 10, the par streak continues. So one over on the back 9 and heading to 17. 17 is another par 3, one that I have never been able to fall in love with. And I don't know why. I think it's just because one of the things I haven't mentioned about Stonegate, obviously, is if you've played it, you know. If you haven't, you don't know. But if you've played any heavily, significantly tree-lined golf course, you know that wind can be hard to judge. And I think this hole has always got me more than any other hole in this golf course when it comes to that. Is it's, again, par 3, not terribly long. I think the longest I've hit 7-iron into this hole, but sometimes 9-iron. It's not nothing too crazy. So right around that 160 to maybe 175 range. But I hit 8-iron this particular time, and I think what gets me is the tee shot, it feels downhill, but I almost wonder how downhill it truly is because you're elevated on the tee, then it goes super far down, significantly down, then it comes back up to the green that's sitting, again, perched on this hill. There's hillside to the left, so that's kind of where you have a little bit of a backstop, a little bit of defense there on the left side. Obviously, if you come up short or right, you're, again, pitching uphill pretty significantly depending on how well you hit your tee shot or how not well you hit your tee shot if you're ending up short or to the right. It can be problematic, but it's a big green. It's a big putting surface, but not an easy one. It slopes significantly back to front, and particularly back right to kind of front middle, front left. This pin, they had it all the way in the back, which, in my opinion, is great. I've played to a lot of front hole locations, and that's when I come up short every time because I don't know, again, if it's wind direction, if it's just thinking the hole is downhill when it's not, but I have a really, really tough time getting the ball all the way back to pin high on this hole. So that was my problem today, back right hole location. I hit 8-iron and left it in the front right side of the green. So, again, long putt at probably 40, 50 feet, if I were to guess. Again, super bad at guessing this stuff, so I'm looking here at my 20-foot long space. And yeah, probably in the 40-foot range. 50 might be a little much, but probably a good 40. And man, did I feel like I slugged it. It's just this time of year when the greens aren't super fast right now, and there's just kind of been moisture and been rain. It's West Michigan fall weather a little bit. It's been cold, but obviously anytime you can get out and take advantage of a decent day and play golf, that's what it's all about. So I slugged this putt, like I said. Left it still about 5 feet right of the hole because I did not hit the intended line. But with long putts, that's tough. It's tough to hit your intended line on 40 footers. So I left this one about 5 feet to the right. Thankfully, I love this Spider Mini. It's a been a super stable and great putter for me from 6 feet and in. So I feel like those are automatic, and that's what you want. And this particular one, I knocked it down center of the cup. It was just granted a little bit of a breaker. It's not too often you're having to play a 5 footer where you're considering playing it outside the hole to the right, so it does make it tough. I think if I was on the other side of the hole and had a left to righter, I probably would have been a little bit more trouble. But this putt, 5 feet right to left, just kind of aim at the right edge of the cup and know that it's going to fall in, let it fall in. And that's exactly what happened. So still one over through 17 and going to 18, which is, in my opinion, has become a cool finishing hole. And so what they did is Stonegate wanted to remain par 72. And so when they took that par 4 on the front nine and they made it into a par 3, they took 18, they added a tee box, and they made it what was an incredibly difficult long par 4 finishing hole has become a very friendly par 5 finishing hole. And so this hole runs back, again, not parallel to 11. So again, 11, I hate to say this in this way, but if you hit just an atrocious tee shot that just starts right, goes right, you can end up down the hill because it is a pretty significant slope there and you can bound down towards 11. I am guilty of doing that from time to time because there are houses or condos and there's out of bounds left. So whether it's being a draw of the golf ball and trying to aim up the right and draw one, or if it's just the wind blowing out of the south more often than not, obviously during the summer, or if it's just fear of out of bounds. But I squeeze this one too far right so stinking often, it drives me nuts. But this particular day, I did not do that. I actually hit a really, really good, I was swinging it well. So I hit a really good kind of what I would call power fade. I mean, and by power fade, I don't mean something that faded 20 yards or 30 yards, but something that faded probably about 10 yards, but kind of one of those no spin, just high and just kind of falls to the right. If I could master that shot, it would be money. I would love that. But this hole for me, I mean, depending on how firm the turf is, which way the wind's blowing, and kind of how well I hit it off the tee, I mean, I've hit as little as driver 8-iron into this hole. I've had as little as 165, 170, or I've been back as far as 190. And so just, again, kind of depends on, hey, can you kind of hug that right side, or do you leave it up the left? I mean, there's a lot that goes into this because it's a slight dogleg right. There are some bunkers on the right. There's rough on the right. Same on the left. There's just a little bit of trouble on the left, and you can kind of, again, you're approaching out of bounds and some more tree trouble. But I hit it down the middle right side of this fairway. I had 182 yards in, so nothing too long. I hit a 6-iron into this green, and although it's a short par 5, the green is still no bargain. There is some pretty good bunkering, and this is another one that kind of squeezes you a little bit, not as much. It squeezes a little bit right to left, so it's kind of narrow, but exceptionally long. So getting the distance right on this hole, whether it's your second shot or your third shot, getting that distance right is crucial. But again, kind of going back to some of the other holes I've talked about, Stonegate, the front of this green is pitched up, and just know that if you cover that front edge, you're probably going to be pretty good. And if you're hitting a longer shot in there, going for the green in 2, or if you're going into the green in 3 from a little further back than you would like, just play for that front edge because you're going to hit that front and you're going to run and release at least to middle of the green, and you just got to trust that. So if the pin's middle or back, you're golden. If the pin is front, that's still cool because if you do end up middle of the green, you're putting back uphill, which is always nice. And this green is a really kind of a neutral putting surface. There's not a lot of break to it. There's not a ton of slope. I've made some pretty lengthy putts on this green for eagles and birdies and stuff. I did one in a scramble. I played in the the tough man out here last fall, so a year ago now, and made a really cool eagle putt that I thought was going to be a skin, but did not end up skinning. But this particular day, the pin was middle of the green. So, I mean, it was, shoot, for me, 182 yards. I just hit a 6-iron out there with a kind of a high draw. Ended up about pin high, just kind of in the front section. It didn't release as much as I had thought, but it was exactly what I was trying to do. So that was money for me. And I two-putted for birdie, got my bogey back from 10, and finished even par for the day. So, again, just kind of I feel like this always happens. I don't know if it's a lack of pressure. I don't know if it's just a clear mind, a clear head, and just kind of enjoying the game of golf a little differently in the fall than I do in the midseason. But golf is an easier game. And even when the course conditions aren't perfect or the weather's not perfect, I feel like I play well. I play well and I enjoy the game a lot, and it shows. Go out and shoot even on the front, even on the back, two birdies, two bogeys, just kind of a ho-hum deal. And for me, that's fun because I'm still trying to figure out how to get a hot putter. I'm still trying to figure out how to hit more fairways. But in the interim, if I can go out and play steady, I don't want to say fairway green two putt golf, but if I can play steady ball in play on or around the green, one putt or two putt golf, then I'm good. That's good stuff. But Stonegate, I've got nothing but good things to say about it. It's been a pleasure playing there for the last 13 years now, and again, it's a course that I love getting out to. I had to play there. I probably played there like 8 times last year, and it's for me because I take back roads to get there from my place. It's 45-minute drive, but I'll meet guys out there anytime to play Stonegate. I get out there a lot more during the spring than I do in the summer because a lot of the tournaments I play in are in the opposite direction. But it's great to get out there at least once. And again, if you haven't played Stonegate, I highly recommend you look it up. They're twilight right now. Granted, we are burning daylight and we're burning daylight fast, and daylight savings time is kicking in. But if you tee off after 2 p.m., you're paying $35 for 18 holes with a cart, and you can't beat that. That's, I mean, it's super fun and it's worth every penny. So I highly encourage you go out, check out Stonegate Golf Club, and that's going to conclude today's podcast. I appreciate you guys. Another hour-long course review, just kind of grinding away on it. We'll be back with some equipment mini series stuff in the coming episodes. But until then, enjoy the nice weather, play some good fall golf, and we'll catch up with you guys next time.